My first time looking at this screen there. Man, that's big. They did a good job. I hadn't seen any of my PowerPoint up there before, so I'm just kind of in awe. If you catch me staring at it, you know, that's a good thing, I guess. How many people here in the military? A couple? So in boot camp, you marched everywhere. I mean, from the time you get off the bus to the time you get out of boot camp, and even once you get out of boot camp and you go to school for whatever you're going to do, you march. I mean, you just march, march, march. And marching was a way of life, but, and this is Navy boot camp, world's finest Navy, best branch of the armed forces, by the way. So in boot camp one day, we were marching, and you have to have somebody call cadence. You just can't march from here to there, right? You can't just get 100 people and just start going that direction. You have to have somebody saying left, 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 right, left, right? And so that's what I got used to. We were in boot camp for like a week or two, and all I heard was left, 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 right, left. Now I'm like, all right, this is nice, this is cool, you know, but one day we were marching to the galley. That's where you eat at for you not Navy folks. We marched to the galley, and I heard something different. I heard 1, 2, 1, 2, avo, down, 2, 3, avo. And I was like, what is that? I had a look like that on my face. I was like, what is this noise I'm hearing? These people are actually enjoying marching. These people are actually put some enthusiasm into it. I mean, they were marching and it was like the best thing I've ever heard. These people weren't there just like left, 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 right, left. These people were like all into it. They almost had these little grins on their faces like they were so happy to be in the Navy, all because of this cadence that this guy was calling. So me and my infinite wisdom, I went to the chief and I says, Chief, how come we're not marching like that? And after he scolded me for talking to him like I was his friend, he explained, well, we can march like that. We just don't. Because the person who leads the song, the cadence, just hadn't asked, or nobody's asked me, and we can do that. There's nothing that stops us from doing that. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged to do that. But for the same reasons, you get to show your dedication. You get to show how much you love the Navy. You get to show all of those things. This whole time, I was thinking like, man, look at these people doing this stuff. They were like the liberals of boot camp, if you will. And all of a sudden, it's like, I found out that we can do that too. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? How come we weren't doing this? I think about that in our Christian walk. Think about that with the way that we behave as Christians. I think about that with everything that we do. I think about that with, are we doing the things that we're permitted to do in the Bible to bring glory and honor to God? Are we doing those things, or are we not doing them because we think we look like somebody else? This is an important question that we're going to talk about today, something that's really near and dear to me, something that I want to really go through. The first thing I want to talk about is characteristics of us. When I say, why not us, who is us? First, we're baptized believers. Acts 2:38, Peter said, then repent each one of you and be baptized. What a proud thing that is to say that we can say we are doing what we're supposed to do according to the Bible. We can open up the Bible and say, I got saved according to that method, not because I believed it, not because somebody told me, but because I can open my Bible and see. What an honor that is to say that I know that I'm saved and I can stand before God and have complete confidence that I'm going to be on his good side when that day comes. That's who we are. We're not people that just believe this into existence. We're people who actually obey what the scriptures say. Also, in that same manner, we're people who are committed followers. Jesus says in Luke 9:62, no one, after putting his hand on the plow and looking bad, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's who we are. We're folks who have been pushing forward to the goal. We're folks who have been letting things go. I know a lot of us have probably lost a lot of things along the way to be Christians, but that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing that we can lay all those things aside, like it says in Hebrews 12 there, and focus on God. It's a great thing. That's who we are. We're not just folks who just play the part. We're folks who are doing those things. We're also folks who follow biblical direction. We don't just, you know, do things just because. The Bible should be our way of life. And everything that we do, that's who we are. We're not folks who just go out there and behave the way we want to behave or behave the way we think we should behave. We behave according to this Bible. That's who we are. Everything that I do in my life and hopefully in your life as well is patterned after that Bible. Everything. Give you an example, how we worship. Acts 20 and 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. First day of the week, it says. That's why we do what we do. Not because somebody just came up with it and said, you know what, I think Sunday is a good day to meet. No, it's not because of that. It's not because the elders at Kent decided, you know what, we're going to get together and meet on Sunday. I love the fact that as a Christian, I could just turn to this Bible and see what I need to do, and I don't have to trust anybody else except for what is said in this book. And that is a good thing that we can say that as Christians. That's a good thing that we can say that's who we are. That's a good thing that we follow the Bible exactly like that. Again, in that same manner, how we behave, 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, for if you have bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body. It's not our body anymore. We surrendered all that. We sing a song that says, I surrender all. We've given all of it up to follow Christ Jesus. That's who we are. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know. A lot of times we paint pictures of other folks and what they're doing. I'm not concerned about them this morning. I'm talking about us. What does the Bible teach and who are we according to these scriptures? Amen. We should be able to look at this Bible and identify with some things. We should be able to pick up this Bible and say, this is who I am because I've read it with my own two eyes. One of the things that drew me to Christianity in the first place is I can really, for real, understand what's going on without having to lean upon somebody else. And I want us to know that's a privilege and that is a good thing this morning. Love is another thing. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. That's who we are. I love each and every one of you. I love you all. If you're in fact in Christ, I love you with the love of Christ. Not just because, you know, this some touchy-feely. No. I love you with the love of Christ. And that should be demonstrated in everything that I do and everything that we do together collectively as a congregation. Amen? We shouldn't be strangers with each other. We shouldn't. We'll talk about this later. We shouldn't just be walking around, you know, like, oh, that's just some guy. I'm telling you, if I see you somewhere, I'm going to come up and talk to you. I remember I bumped into Richard one day at Costco. He was out there wandering around in the parking lot. I don't know what he was doing. I remember bumping into him. I was like, hey, Richard, and we sat there and talked. You know, if I see you, I'm going to say, how you doing? What's happening? I'm glad to see you, brother or sister. And that's the way it should be. We should just be family inside this building. We should really 100% love one another. Amen? Another thing, James 1 and 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. Visit orphans and widows in their time of distress. And it's a very important part here. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. We're not out there doing worldly things. We shouldn't be, at least. Curtis did a good job of talking about that in Bible class this morning. Yeah, are we going to from time to time slip and do things? Yes. Should it be our habit? No. That person that was out there doing those things in the past should be put to death. That death is not something that happens once, but every day we wake up in the morning, we have to put that person to death. It's not something that we're just going to snap our fingers and do. I'm telling you, there's things that I put to death every day when I wake up. Every night before I go to bed, I have to put them to death. It's an ongoing process. And doing that, you'll keep yourself unspotted from the world. I'll keep myself unspotted from the world. Now we described, we know who we are. I told Chad I was only going to preach for 2 hours, so I'm good looking at the time. Now that we know who we are, we know who we are as baptized believers. We obey the Bible. We believe what it says. We demonstrate it in our life with our faith, with our love, with everything that we have. Now that we got that down, let's see what we're doing compared to the scriptures. What does the scripture say about us and some of the things that we should be doing? This is a verse. We're doing the new convert class starting in November 6th. And this is one of the first verses I remember. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. Every word in this Bible should be our guide. Every word. You could just turn to the pages and you should just look at it and say, man, Look at all these wonderful instructions that I have. That's the first thing that we should be focusing on, consistency with the scriptures, knowing that every one of these scriptures should be molding our lives. That's the first thing. Another thing here, have we become jaded by tradition? Just look at the scriptures. So you got scriptures and you got tradition. Now, am I saying that all traditions are bad? No, I'm not saying that at all. Am I saying that all traditions are good? No, I'm not saying that at all either. What I'm saying is that there are traditions. The way these pews are lined up is tradition. I've seen congregations where the preacher's in a circle and everybody's going around. I wouldn't like that very much, but that's the way of doing it. He's standing up here, and the way that I am is tradition. A lot of things that we do is tradition. We need to know that. We need to know there's a scripture, and we need to know there's tradition. And we also need to know the difference between the two so that when it comes down to us behaving, because let me tell you what happens with this tradition, and I've been guilty of it myself. It's like I'm trying to hold somebody to this standard of the tradition instead of what the Bible says. So it's like, well, me marching in boot camp, I see those people coming. I'm like, why are they not sounding like us? See, I'm thinking that that was the right way to be. All that was my opinion on the matter. What really we should be focusing on is what the Bible says. All scripture is available, right? That's what it says in 2 Timothy 3 and 16. I'll show you a picture. Now, when I show you this picture, I want everybody to like kind of freeze for a second and just think of the first thing that comes to mind when they see this picture. Just freeze in your mind. I'm going to show it to you. No cheating. What do you think about when you see this picture? Think about in your mind. Just stop for a second in your mind and say, what do I think about when I see this picture? You want to know what I think about? See, sometimes I'm too honest. Like, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. The first thing that I saw, what I thought when I looked at that picture, I was like, denominations. Another thing I thought was, they may be faking it. Sometimes. You know, you see people, everybody there doing that, lifting up holy hands. You're like, is that real? I'm not saying if it's real or not. I'm just saying that's the first thing I thought. The question is, have you ever seen this being done before? Have you ever walked into a Church of Christ and somebody's there lifting up their hands? I've seen it. I know I've seen it. And let me tell you something. Is it rare? It is rare, especially nowadays. In the Northwest, it's really rare. I don't see it up here hardly at all. I see it in the South for sure, but up here, you don't see it in the Northwest very much at all. So let me tell you what happened to me. I got to go to my next slide. How would it be received if somebody would come in here and do that before I go to my story? How would it be received? Somebody comes in here and they're listening to the songs and they're focused on Christ Jesus and everything that Christ Jesus did and they lift up their hands. What would we do? Somebody may give them the stink eyes, we call it. Everybody knows what the stink eye is. I just gave you a definition for it. It's always been there, but from now on, you can know it as the stink eye. When you give somebody that look, that's the stink eye. You may give them the stink eye, right? Let me tell you. I was at worship assembly maybe 4 years ago in Texas. Some folks come in, and they're singing loud, and they're just wide open. I mean, just like wide open. And it wasn't like they were just doing it just to be seen. No, these people were worshiping a God that is living. And they had their hands up, worshiping God. And this is the looks that people were giving them. I'm not making it up, I'm serious. As a matter of fact, afterwards, people were like, why are they doing that? Like, why are they like making all that noise? Here's the deal. God has done so much for us. He is like, you can't even fathom how much God has done for us. And sometimes we sit here like he is not alive. Sometimes we sit here like God has done absolutely nothing for us. I'm not talking about Ken. I'm just talking about just the overall mind frame. I'm just saying sometimes the demeanor is like we just have to sit here and not show any emotion and not, you know. And I'm saying that may not be the case for some folks. If you want to do that, the scriptures give you permission to do that. Worship God in spirit and truth. There's nothing wrong with saying I am so thankful to Christ Jesus for everything that he did for me. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with either side of it. Amen? I mean, sometimes we get set in our ways, our tradition of coming in here. We have to look nice and neat and clean and so on and so forth. And the truth of the matter is I worship a God that is alive. And I want to worship him in a way that is full of activity. I want to worship him in a way that is showing that I appreciate everything that he did. Now, can that go on the wrong side of it? See, the Navy, this is the thing about it. The Navy, after a while, they stopped all that 1 year, 2 and 3 and 4 and all that because people got crazy. People weren't even marching. They were going on all the way at the other end doing things they had no business doing. It was somebody like singing like Marvin Gaye leading cadence, and that's just not cool. So they cut it out. The point to the matter is, if somebody's doing it for the right reason and they're permitted to do it, then so be it. And who is anybody to go against this? The scripture says, I want men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands to God. If somebody does that, then so be it. We shouldn't look at them like, oh, well, what are you doing? Amen? We're on the same page? Next thing is, this is the big one. I confess. James 5 and 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. This is the big one. Confessing your sins to one another. I'm not saying we don't do that. I'm not saying that at all because I've seen it done. But that's not like a common practice where we can just walk up and be comfortable enough with one another to say, you know what? I'm struggling with this. Again, I'm not saying this about Kent. I'm not saying this about anybody in particular. I'm just saying the culture that I've seen in the church is just that we just don't do this very often. Now, meanwhile, I went to a lady's house when I was doing some work for, and they had some folks meeting at their house in their small groups, and they were just saying, you know, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. I was just like, huh. That's different. But, you know, we are here. Remember the characteristics of us? We are baptized believers. We can point to the Bible. We are confirmed to know that we are who we are because the Bible says so. And the Bible says right here, therefore, confess your sins to one another. You know what that takes? Humility and a bunch of it. It takes an environment where we can do that. It takes a whole bunch of stuff that we can walk up to a brother and say, I am struggling with this, that, and the other. Because the last thing you want is to go up to a brother or sister in Christ and say that, and they turn back around and look at you and give you the stink eye, see? You don't want that. That'll mess up everything. And I know that I say that kind of joking, but it's a serious statement. You do not want to go up to your brother and sister in Christ and say, I'm struggling with this, and they look at you like you're an alien because you're so bad because you're struggling with something. I guarantee it, church, just like I'm struggling with things today standing before you, every one of you are too. Christians, that doesn't make us perfect because we're Christian. That just says that we acknowledge that we're not perfect and we need Christ Jesus to wash away our sins. So all this mantra, again, I'm not saying this about Kent, but this whole attitude that I see in people sometimes, they got to walk around like they're a walking highlight reel, is just wrong. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to say, Buck, it's going to be okay. Let me tell you what happened when I was going through that situation. The more we get around people, the more you learn. You know, and I've seen this a lot in my Christian walk. Time and time again, I'm thinking I'm the only person that's going through it. And you talk to somebody who's a little bit older than you, and they're like, hey, I was going through that too. And you feel so much better, and you don't feel defeated, and you can go and pray together, and things come out so much better. And that's the way things should be. This should be living Christianity. This is what it's about. This is about what Christianity is, the crux of it all here. We all depend on Christ. We all know that we're not all the way there yet, but we depend on each other. We depend on Christ Jesus. We'll all get to the goal. Amen? Why not us? If we don't do that, why? Why? How come? How come we don't confess our sins to each other? How come we don't, you know, lift our holy hands to God? I'm not saying that it's wrong because we don't do it. I'm not saying that at all. But I am just saying, why not? I want you to think about that. And what are the reasons? Acts 2:46, day by day continued with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. These folks were going from house to house. These folks were eating together and all that. Let me tell you, the elders did a good job here of putting that in where different folks would go to different houses and eat. We did that a little bit. Let me tell you something, that should be a common occurrence, not because somebody's asking us to do it. That should be a common occurrence just because. And again, I'm not saying that we're not. I'm just saying, but that's what the Bible says. You sit down and break bread, you'll get to know somebody real quick, real fast. You'll get to know how fast Aaron eats and how much he eats. Real fast. I'm not making that up either. Love you, brother. But you get to know folks, right? You come to my house, you know, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about everything. We have good conversations and bad conversations. I've been with some brothers and sisters in Christ where the conversation took a real fast left turn. But guess what? We're there together. We're going to learn. At Miss Donna's house, I had to learn the hard way what a butter knife is. We don't even want to get in that story. But we learn. We love each other. And that's a good thing to go and break bread with one another. Amen? And I'm saying the Bible says it for a reason. If we can do that, we will all be stronger together. That's what it's all about, crossing that finish line and helping a brother get there with you. That's what love is. Love is not walking around like we're perfect. Love is saying, I'm not perfect and I need help. Let's do this together. I ask the question, are we doing these things? And the reason is, if we're not doing them, then why? Why are we not doing these things? And there's a whole other list of things in the Bible that we could go through. I'm just giving you a couple examples this morning to kind of bring the point home. If the Bible is our God, then let the Bible be our God. And let that be it. Traditions are good. I like meeting in the morning. I like meeting in the evening. I like all of it. But those are tradition. There's a lot of things that we do that are tradition. And we need to realize that. Are we afraid of something when we don't do it? Legitimate question, right? Are we afraid of something? And if we are afraid, what are we afraid of? When we don't do those things, when we don't go out and do some of these things that the Bible clearly says to do, is it because we're afraid? Are we afraid of looking like denominations? I'll be honest with you, I was. That was my claim to fame when I first became a Christian, because I'm not like them. It was. When I first got baptized and I came out of the water, my whole deal was, I'm glad I can say I'm not like them. And some of the culture that I've seen in the church is, you know, everything that we do is not like them. No, our culture should be following Christ Jesus. And let the chips fall where they may. Amen? Let's just follow Jesus. We'll talk about that. Oh, my next slide. Let's just follow Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything else. Let's just follow him. People are going to go out and say what they want to say and do what they want to do. Let's just follow him. The reason why we should follow him, I give an example. 1 Corinthians 11:23 tells you this is about the Lord's Supper. But it says, do this in remembrance of me. Is that just prohibited to that on the first day of the week? No. We should be remembering what Christ did all the time. And so that's the reason why we should be able to pick up our Bible and say, I'm going to follow you through it all, Jesus. I'm going to do all these things that you told me to do. I'm going to confess my sins to my brother. I'm going to have some good things to say. I'm going to, you know, really just show that I'm doing everything I possibly can for you, because he died for us. What else could he do for us besides die for us and give us an opportunity at salvation? What else could he have done? Just think about it. He's done everything that he can do to ensure that we can get there. The only thing that he didn't do was just snap his finger and put us in glory with him. He left that up to us. What a good thing. Because of that, we should just follow him. Not concerned about what somebody thinks about me. I'm not concerned with any of that. I'm just going to follow him. It's okay to show emotion. In John 11:35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, he wept. Now, just think about this. The Son of God is standing there. He's crying because somebody's dead, and he's going to raise him up from death. Now, think about this for a second. He knows full well that he's going to raise this man up. He knows full well that he has the power to do it. So why would he be there weeping? Because he had compassion, because he was showing emotion, because of all of those things. He knew the future. He knew in just a couple minutes I'm going to raise him up. But this moment, I'm going to show a little emotion. And it wasn't fake. It was because that's what he wanted to do. Romans 16:16, it's okay to embrace your brother. In Church of Christ, salute you with a kiss. Let me tell you something. I go in congregations in the South, they'll kiss you. Me and my wife were talking about this, a brother from Texas, and he would come and plant a wet one on the side of my jaw, and it would just make my skin crawl. It did. It really did. But he would do it every time, and after a while, I got used to it. But hugging, that's a common thing in different parts of the country. Now, I'm not making it seem like the South and the East Coast and all that have it so good, because they have their problems too. I mean, a bunch of them. But one of the things that they do well is they show their emotion, they hug, they embrace. I like to see that. I like to understand. I want us to show, hey, I love you, brother. I want to be able to say, I love you, sister. In the Northwest, it's, what is it called, a Seattle breeze or freeze or whatever it's called? I don't know. Somebody told me about that when I was moving up here. They were like, people are just, you know, they look at you, then they go the other way. We shouldn't have that. Our culture should be what Jesus said. We shouldn't be following the culture that's in Seattle. We should be following the culture what Jesus said. Loving one another and doing everything we can possibly do. That's the culture that we're supposed to have. It's okay to tell your brothers you love them. I just talked about that. Hebrews 13:1, it says, let the love for the brethren continue. Let us do all those things. At the end of the day, who cares what somebody else thinks about us? As long as we're following this, that's our confirmation that everything that we're doing is in the truth. Who cares? I'm not fixing to walk around and try to make sure I don't look like somebody else. I'm not concerned about that at all. My only objective is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Here's the thing about it. We don't look like us, like them. They don't look like us. The only thing that should be of our concern is we look like the truth. I can turn to the Bible and see it. And if we can demonstrate that by what we do, our actions, our love, and so on and so forth, who cares if somebody else is doing that? More power to them. We're going to obey the truth. We're going to take care of ourselves. Amen? To the others, God knows if they're doing something to be sincere or not. God gets that. That's not our game to figure out if somebody else is being sincere in their worship or whatever the case may be. That's not our task. Our task is to take care of our souls and bring other people to Him. And we do that by using this book, this Bible, the truth. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. I'll say I love you all. I am proud to say it. One of the things that brought me into Christ, that really drew me into Christ, is because for the first time in our lives, we didn't get looked at like we were. That I'm telling you, Galatians 3:27 just means so much to me and my family. Galatians 3:27-28, you're neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. You're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what drew me in. For the first time, I could say, we're part of a family, and that means so much to me, and I hope it means a lot to you as well, that we are part of a family. The truth is, we have our Bibles. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to do everything we can, every possible thing we can, to bring glory and honor to the Father. Amen? That's what this is all about, bring glory and honor to Him. He saved us. He did everything He possibly could for us, and we should be doing everything we possibly can for Him. That's what this is about. This is not about us looking like somebody else. This is about us obeying the Father. We should be focusing on Christ Jesus. We should be doing everything we possibly can for Him. So I'll say this. If we keep the focus on Christ, if we do everything we can for Him, and somebody thinks that we're doing something for another reason, so be it. We have our reward in Christ. Amen? Amen? And lastly, God does know our heart. If we're up here, if you see somebody lifting their hands and they're just the complete awe of God and everything that he did, then God knows their heart. At the same token, if somebody is doing that just to be seen, God knows their heart. And that's all that matters in this situation. He knows our heart. He knows our heart enough that we came and we believed in him and we decided to follow him all the way to glory. That's a good thing, church. I want us to remember that. I know I've said a lot today. As you can see, I'm not perfect. I forgot to put the song in here. I know I've said a lot today, but I want us to think about these things. I want us to really focus on these things and understand that we have a Bible. And if we want to do something, we want to take a liberty that the Bible gives us, then so be it. That's exactly what he gave it to us in the first place. Amen. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you want to get back to those things that you know you should be doing, maybe there's some things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing or some things that you're not doing that you should be doing, then fine. Again, the prayers of the church will help you out. It takes a lot of humility, like I showed in that slide, to come up here and say, I need the prayer of the church. But let me tell you something, it'll do you some good. I've done it, and it will do you some good. And if you're not a Christian, let me tell you, we talk about this family. This is a family that I'm not going to end my relationship with. I hope to see all of you in eternity with Christ Jesus. I want to see all of you there smiling, and we'll be able to be there with God in his presence where he is the light. Come and join that family. Believe, be baptized, confess, all those things that the Bible tells us to do so you'll know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to go be with him. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.